Oh, sing it.
Prince of peace, and we worship you because of who you are.
One more time. Hallelujah. Oh, sing it. Hallelujah.
Lord, we worship you because of who you are. Lord, we worship you because of who you are.
We bless and honor you, Father, for your tangible presence in our midst. You said, let not the rich man boast in his riches. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the wise man boast in his riches. But he that boasteth, let him boast that he knoweth me. I am God who exercises loving kindness, righteousness, and justice in the earth. We worship because of who you are. As we go into your word, we pray that the same unction and anointing will go with us and increase, so that, Lord, you will anoint me afresh, and I will speak indeed as I should, as an oracle of God. Then put the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of all who will hear me, those who are here physically, as well as those who are hearing me and will hear me remotely, electronically, so that your word will flow freely from you through me to your people to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own, in particular, to cause our wills to become more humble. Yes. Minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge. Emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further pray, as I speak, the power of the Holy Spirit be released in great as well as in sufficient measure. Yes, power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and free men, so that they will become doers of the things that they hear and are hearers only. Further pray as I speak that you will have mercy upon me to deliver this word with precision. Yes, to redeem the time and say only what you want me to say. Bring another treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me, receiving every blessing mentioned in the prayer in their individual lives, all individually agreed and said,
amen.
Today, I have a prophetic landmark message. I'm not sure I'll be able to finish it today, because I can see that it's quite voluminous. I downloaded this message a few days ago. And I've given bits and pieces of it over the years, but you know, revelation is continuous and progressive. So I am bringing it now with more clarity and the urgency of the moment, in the sense that the time of its fulfillment is upon us. So we are going to be seeing the fulfillment. We've already seen a bit of it. We're going to see more of the fulfillment of these things. And it's entitled Bethlehem, Ziklag, Hebron, and Jerusalem. Last Wednesday, as I was preaching and teaching in the School of Perfection, in my talking about perfection, all this came out again, you know, and it wasn't in my notes. I didn't, you know, and the Lord said to me, "Say, you need to preach it again." I'm going to begin by saying this, which, again, is a truth that many of Christians don't understand. That's why many of them don't take the Old Testament seriously, you see. The life of David is a shadow of the life of the New Testament Christian. Many people don't understand that. There are many types and shadows in the Old Testament, but David in particular is very, 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 very important. You cannot really understand your prophetic destiny if you don't understand the shadows, the prophetic shadows in the life of David. And that's what this message, it gives, is like an overview of the entire Christian life. And that's why it's Bethlehem, Ziklag, Hebron, and Jerusalem. I'll explain those things as we go along. We are to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, according to Romans 8:29, who is the Son of David. Revelation chapter 22 in verse 16. Let's quickly go there. This is at the end of the Bible to show you how important David is. Some of the last things Jesus said to close the canon of scripture. Can you imagine? It's David. And look at what he says. Revelation chapter 22, and it's in verse 16. He's rounding up the entire scripture. And he says this, "I, Jesus, have sent mine angel," I didn't hear you, "to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And I saw something I've been preaching these things for years. I got a deep insight, clarity into this scripture. And I put it down here in my notes." Jesus, you know, yeah, before I say what I want to say, there are a few other scriptures here. There's, you know, Isaiah 11, you know, have a name, you know. Well, let's just read them because I'm not going to finish today. I will take it to a particular point and stop, and then we're going to take it up next week. Revelation says, and there was given, Isaiah. Isaiah is another very important prophet, you know. Isaiah was given so much revelation. And there shall come, 11:1, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. Ha! A branch shall grow out of his roots. He's talking about you. Oh, this is Jesus. Yes, it's Jesus, but it's you. I'm going to show you in a minute. We're not done yet. Then Romans chapter 1 verse 3. It's all over the Bible. Paul picks the same thing by the same Holy Spirit that was in Isaiah, that was in John. It says, concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of what? David, according to the flesh. Of course, David was not the only, he was not the only king in the genealogy. There was David, there was Abraham, you know, and there were others. But why David? I'm going to show you. And then Revelation, back to Revelation again, chapter 5 and verse 5. is when John was weeping in heaven. And one of the elders, I didn't hear you, saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the what? Root of David. Notice he didn't say offspring here. He said root. I'll show you something. You probably have never seen it before. I certainly hadn't understood it clearly before. I think it was somewhere in my subconscious, but it came into my consciousness just this last week. Jesus, in the last week of his life, begins to reveal, all these years, he never revealed publicly much who he really was. Occasionally, he said it to the woman, the Samaritan woman, to one or two people privately. The guy, he opened his eyes with the mud. He said, you know, Son of God, he said, I am he. But rarely, in fact, most of the time when the demons are there, they say, shut up, you know. Say, don't tell anybody. But at the end of, at the last week of his life, God instructed him to reveal himself. And it was to be a testimony against the scribes and the Pharisees. So he asks them a rhetorical question. He said, why do the scribes say that Christ is David's son? For David himself, quoting Psalm 110, Koselemengrask, David himself, in spirit, that is, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said, the Lord, Jehovah, said to Adonai, my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. Then the Lord Jesus, knowing who he is, said, if David called him Lord, how then is he his son? Selah. Bam. You know what I was telling them? Me who I'm talking to you. I am the Lord of David. Then God gave me this insight. The Lord Jesus is the root of David. He made David. He created everything, including David. So he's the root of David. You and I are the offspring. We are the offspring of David. That's why it says, I am the root and offspring. Because you see, he's no longer Jesus alone. He's head and body. Head is root, body is offspring. A clap offering for the Lord. Whoa! We are the offspring of David. And you need to know who you are. When he was going to trace the genealogy in the book of Matthew, he used three I don't know which natural illustration I should use. You know, in the genealogy, there are plenty of people in the genealogy. So when God wants to, he will just use the key people. So you know what he said? He said, the genealogy of Jesus Christ, who was the son of Abraham. Let me quote it from my head so I don't make a mistake. Yes. Look at it. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ. The son of David, the son of Abraham. Mom. Those are the key people. Why? Because the life of David encapsulates in prophetic shadows the destiny of every Christian. You do yourself a great injustice if you do not study David closely and understand whichever position you're in at the moment and where you're going. Every Christian starts in Bethlehem. Bethlehem simply means the house of bread. And Jesus is the bread of life. You got born again in Bethlehem. Every Christian, whether you got born again in scripture pastor, or you got born again in London, or you got born again in Jamaica, or you got born again in Japan, it doesn't matter. It's Bethlehem. David, I said this on Wednesday. Thank you, Jesus. Was anointed 3 times. And that's the destiny of every Christian. Every Christian should be, not will be. Should be. Many people don't even get the first anointing. Watch this. Pastor G. He was born in Bethlehem, David. But he didn't get his anointing until he was about 17 years old. So the new birth and the first anointing are not the same thing. You get born again in Bethlehem, you should get anointed in Bethlehem, in your father's house, amongst your brethren. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit when you speak in tongues. That's only anointing number one. There's a second anointing which does not come until Hebron, where he is now anointed king over only one tribe, Judah. That anointing symbolizes the anointing we should receive if we become disciples and walk with him, and then we will inherit a portion of the Spirit without measure. That is why it's only one tribe. Hebron. Every Christian. It's not for Pastor Olubi alone or something. The third anointing was in Jerusalem, where David is now anointed king of all of Israel. That speaks of the Spirit without measure that the Lord Jesus received when he was 30 years old. Look at Jesus, born a baby in Bethlehem. 12 years old, he begins to understand the scriptures. He had the anointing, you know, he was praying in tongues. The Bible doesn't say so explicitly, but we know he did. Because, you know, how did he know? He said, this son shall fall them that speak in tongues. He will go to the wilderness. He'll be praying, because if they're praying, they won't understand what he's saying. You know? And all of those years as he was growing up, you know, his anointing was increasing. But it did not get to that without measure until he was 30. I brought this out. This is why it's important to know the Old Testament. The Jewish roots of our Christianity cannot be overemphasized. And if you don't understand the Old Testament and the Jewish traditions, there are a lot of things you won't understand. And you don't be behaving like a Gentile in the house of God. You're not a Gentile. You are no longer strangers and citizens, but members of the household of God. Don't you know who you are? That's why I love that song, Baruch Hashem Adonai. How can I, a stranger of nations, be counted to be part of the royal line? You don't understand. Watch this. In the Levitical priesthood, you have 2 sections, the Levites and the priests. Okay, and the high priest. When you are 20 years old, you're born into it, you know, it was a natural biological tribe. But it speaks to us today. You're born a Levite. But you are not allowed to serve in the tabernacle until you are 20. Then 10 years later, when you are 30, you are now allowed to serve in the Holy of Holies. David And it was David who did it. He divided the priesthood into courses. That's why you read of, what's his name? Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist. When it was a, because the work is very, very intense. So they would come and spend like a month, then they would go back to their house, you know. They had like 24 courses. So each course will only come once every 2 years, you know. And the job of the priest was every morning, he would get up and go into the tabernacle. He will, you know, he will trim the lights of the menorah, the candlestick. They will bake the shoe bread. It lasts a week. They bake it every week. Seven. You know, and he will eat of the shoe bread. Then he will take incense and offer it up on the altar. Make prayers, and then he will come out. Usually it takes maybe about 10, 15 minutes. But on the day Zechariah went in, the guy, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, what is wrong with this man? Something happened to him, you know. Then finally he comes out. He'd seen Gabriel. Gabriel appears on the right side of the altar and bring another message for another day, and brings him a message that he has never heard before. He said, you and your wife and Elizabeth, your prayers have been answered. You're going to have a son. I like God. Everybody say, God is in control. He determines the sex. This is before Elizabeth conceived. You're going to have a son. You're going to call his name John. That's where we got Johnson from. And he will be a prophet most high, and he will go before the Lord his God and prepare the hearts of the people for the coming Messiah. You all know the story, so I'm not going to go into it. Zechariah comes out, he can't talk. The angel punishes him because of his unbelief. Shut his mouth, so he will not use his mouth to spoil the faith process that had been set into motion. The day John the Baptist is born, and they want, seventh day, they, you know, circumcise him. They want to name the baby. They say we should call him Zechariah Jr. Like all of us, we always lie. Everybody likes Junior. Many times God doesn't want Junior because the senior may not be what God wants him to be. Another message for another day. So Zechariah can't talk. It's been like that for 9 months. So kuma da faithru. Kuma basholuaje. Because all, you know, every time you spoil God's work is with your mouth. It's a kini baba. So they bring him a slate. So he say, his name is John. Immediately his mouth opens. Oh, give the Lord a clap offering. I don't want to get off into that. Let me get back to my point. Every Levite, let me go back to Jesus. You see, the Lord Jesus at 20 or 21, certainly the anointing on him increased, but it wasn't for miracles. It was for service, revelation, understanding of who he was. All that time from 12 till 30, he was serving. Just like you. The one we see is the 30 and over, where he now gets the spirit without measure. It's the same pattern. It's the same Bethlehem, Hebron, and Jerusalem. The pattern hasn't changed. It was in David, it was in Jesus, and it is in you. Our own, let's come to our own, because our own is the important thing we're looking at now. You get born again, you're just born in Bethlehem. If you don't get baptized in the Holy Spirit, you don't get the first anointing. David, at 8 years old, at 12, at 15, had been born in Bethlehem, but no anointing. Many Christians live and die and don't get the first anointing. That's why it's a landmark message. But thankfully today, most of us, if not all of us, have got that Bethlehem anointing. It is not the end, it's just the beginning. There are two anointings up the road. The second anointing is the anointing at Hebron, which gives you the Spirit without measure on a limited basis, just like the David was ruling over only Judah when he was anointed in Hebron. So the anointing in Hebron is symbolic of the anointing of the borrowed anointing. You will heal the sick, you will raise the dead, you will cast out devils, you speak in tongues, but it's limited, you know, in scope. And you see that in the ministry of the 12 apostles and the 70. The 12 said, heal the sick, you know, Luke chapter 9, he took 12. Then Luke chapter 10, he had 70. And in Matthew chapter 10, verse 8, he gives them the scope of it. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, and cast out devils. And they did. But that's not the end. Hebron is not the end. There's still another anointing. Jerusalem. Which makes you now king over all Israel. Now that's when you really become a spiritual king. The Spirit without measure. Where not only will you heal the sick, cleanse lepers, raise the dead, and cast out devils, you will do it constantly. God gave me a revelation. In these last few weeks, I shared it in church one of the evenings, I think. And it is this. When you got the Bethlehem anointing, which is the earnest of the Spirit, the down payment, you are allowed to use it at will. That's why I will speak in tongues. See, the minute you get that anointing, from that time on, you can release the power of the Spirit with measure anytime you like by praying in tongues. Tongues are available to you 24/7. When you get the Spirit without measure as a king, you come to the place where you can release the Spirit without measure anytime you like, as you will. Therefore, you can then ask what you will, and it will be done unto you. And you see it in Jesus' ministry. A leper comes to him and says, if you will, you can heal me. He said, I will. And the power was, and the leprosy left instantly. The only places where it never worked was not that it was not released, it was not received. In Nazareth, he could do no mighty work there because of their unbelief, not because of the lack of anointing. And you see the anointing in operation when they try and throw him off the cliff, he walks through them. So we know the Spirit without measure was in operation. Only they didn't benefit from it. I'll give you another one so you can understand. This is why you need to read your Bible and read it carefully. He's preaching in Jesus' house in Capernaum. And the Bible says the scribes and, you know, the doctor, the dead boy was full. All the big Cadillacs and all the V-boots and all the G-wagons, everything was there. All the big preachers had come down. And they were all listening to him. They came to check out this upstart from Nazareth, you know, because they've been hearing about him, you see. So he preaches. The Bible says, watch this. And this happened all the time in Jesus' ministry. It was constant. The only difference where we see the miracles or we don't see the miracles is where the people believe or they don't believe. The Bible says, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Them who? Them doctors of the law. Them Pharisees, but not one of them got healed. But to prove to you the power was there, there was a man who was sick of the palsy. Paralyzed man. And he had four friends. Those friends brought him on a stretcher. They could not enter because they were persona non grata. There was security at the gates, just like our people today. They say, who are you? What synagogue do you come from? Where are your ordination papers? Come on, is it people like you they want here? I said, no, guy is talking here. You want to enter this place? That's Olubi Johnson, 21st century translation. So you know what the boys did? They were so frustrated. But they were so determined. they say, okay, we can't get through the door. We can't come through the roof. So they go and they go to the back of the house. They climb up the roof and come near where Jesus is, on top of where Jesus is preaching. Then they tear the roof. I like that. Brother Abraham said the violence, they took it by force. They took the blessing by force. So they tore the roof. And then they let the man down through the roof. The Bible says Jesus was preaching to all the preachers. They didn't. The power was there to heal them. Not one of them got it. It will not be your portion in Jesus' name. You can be here and not get it. But it's here. Other people will get it to prove to you that the power was there. The power is always there. Like God said, I think to Kenneth Copeland or Kenneth Hagin, he said, healing always comes. It's just not always received. When you have a truly anointed man, now it doesn't always come if the man is not anointed. But if the man is truly anointed and has prayed, done his homework, it always comes. The question is, how many people receive it? It's like electricity. Look at that. There's a fuse box in somewhere at the back of the church there. And if the electricity from Ibidek, we used to say NEPA, it's now Ibidek, you know, if it comes and the fuse is off, that room will not have light. Is there light? Yes! There's no problem about the light. The question is the fuse box. If the fuse box of your faith, the switch of your faith is off, even when there's power in the air, you won't get it. And so David Ingalls sings the song, keep the switch of faith turned on. You can turn it off. Zechariah, so that he wouldn't turn it off, Gabriel shut his mouth. Otherwise, he would have turned the switch of faith off. Am I talking to anybody else? These are the three anointings. The last one is Spirit Without Measure, where you can now release the power without measure at will. God can trust you because by that time, your will, your mind, your emotions are all under the control of the Holy Spirit. You will never do anything out of the will of God. You know, he's whispered to you, this is what he wants to do. He says, I do nothing except what my Father shows me. The Father will show him, then he'll just release it. It was not, you know, it's not the gifts of the Spirit. It's gifts of the Spirit are given as Spirit wills. This is on a higher level. You see this in Jesus' ministry. You know, virtue went out of him. He healed multitudes, 5,000, you know, fed them with fish and bread. You know, the Bible says virtue went out and healed all. It happened many, many times because he could release it at will. And he did. The Bible says he would look at them as sheep having no shepherd. And he had compassion on the multitude. And he said, you know, when they killed John the Baptist and they came to tell him, no, John was very close to him. They were cousins. They grew up together. So the thing hurt Jesus emotionally. You know, Jesus was human, don't forget. You know? And so he just wanted to be alone, get away from the crowd. So he goes into the wilderness just to pray and just edify himself and encourage. The people now found out where he was. You know? So the people just rushed, you know? I was looking for him, you know, to help them. So the Bible says that he saw them all, said he had compassion on them. You know what the Bible says? And he healed their sick. There's no big deal about it because he had inherited the Spirit without measure. He was operating in Jerusalem. I'm going to close soon for today. Then I'm going to pick it up next week. But there is a stop between Bethlehem and Hebron. It is called Ziklag. Ziklag is the place where that prepares us to partake of the Spirit without measure. Firstly, as a borrowed anointing, then later on in Jerusalem to get the full thing. Ziklag is of tremendous importance in our walk. This dynasty of David, this offspring, we are the offspring of David. Every offspring of David is going through these three anointings. You are born again in Bethlehem, If you're obedient and you believe, you'll get anointed amongst your brethren in Bethlehem, baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you stay with God and you get to Ziklag, you're now being prepared for the Spirit without measure. The borrowed anointing, the one that the 12 and the 70 had. I'll talk a little bit about Ziklag this afternoon, and then I'm going to stop there. And then next week, I will go into detail as to what happens, because if I start it now, it will take too long. It is at Ziklag that we are prepared to partake of the anointing at Hebron. The borrowed anointing of the Spirit without measure. Everybody, turn with me in your Bible to 1 Samuel chapter 27. You can now see how crucial these Old Testament scriptures are. 1 Samuel chapter 27. Good. I'm going to be looking at two verses, verses 6 and 7. Then Achish, this was a Philistine king. You see, what happened, historically, what happened was that David got discouraged. And he thought, this thing God has said is not going to come to pass. And that maybe, you know, maybe Samuel ate too much that day. He came to our house. Because he'd been running, you know, from pillar to post for months, years. And it looked as if, you know, Saul almost caught up with him, almost killed him. So he got so discouraged. One day, this Saul is going to catch me and kill me. Let me just go to the land of the Philistines. At least if I'm out of the borders of Israel, Saul will leave me alone. So he goes to the land of the Philistines and he's staying with this king called Achish. So Achish gave him Ziklag. It's just a, it's an actual place. I get materials about Israel. Ziklag exists today. They did a archaeological digging of Ziklag. Yeah, because this new newsletter, I get it on email and on YouTube. You know, they this is about 2 years ago or something. They dug the place and they found out, this is the Ziklag. It's historical. It's real. Right. So he gave him Ziklag. Wherefore? Now this is prophetic. Wherefore? I didn't hear you. Ziklag pertaineth unto the kings of Judah. Unto what? Turn to neighbor, say, this day. It still pertains to us today. If you want to become a king, if you want the kingly anointing, the spirit without measure, firstly on the limited level for Judah, you must go to Ziklag. Ziklag is where you are prepared. Sadly, because of lack of knowledge and they don't understand the scriptures, many Christians are trying to do with the Bethlehem anointing what can only be done with the anointings at Ziklag and Jerusalem. And they don't even want to go to, they don't want to go to Ziklag, because Ziklag is the place of discipleship. Ziklag is the place. That was where, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's read the next verse. Then I will say something and I have to close in another 5-10 minutes. Why? You know, I remember years ago asking the Lord, why all this detail? This is prophetic. Verse 7. And the time David dwelt in the land of the Philistines, which is Ziklag, was a full year and 4 months. Tell your neighbor, say, why? I'll give it to you. New Testament revelation. We preached this years and years and years ago. I have actually a book. You know, I don't know if we made it into a book. It was one of our landmarks, you know. And I think we incorporated it in one of the messages. But when I finish this one now, we're going to write a new book on it. You know, yes. And incorporate it into it. The thing about it is that 1 year, 4 months is symbolic of the time it will take for you to be able to get that borrowed anointing. It cannot be less. And I'll tell you why. The 1 year has two parts. The first part is the first 6 months, which is the time of Esther. It used 1 year to prepare Esther to take her before the king. The first 6 months were made of myrrh and bitter, ointments. The second 6 months was made of sweet odors. Why? When you first start praying, especially this Pauline prayer, I discovered that in my own personal experience. Kenneth Hagin too had the same experience. Why? It's because it's scripture. Because we're the offspring of David. It takes 6 months because initially your mind is full of darkness. Because you're coming from Egypt, you're just born again. You know, you feel the Holy Spirit quite all right. That's why he wrote that thing to the Ephesians, that they should be praying the spirit of wisdom and revelation. It will take 6 months before the darkness starts clearing. And you know what? Most people, after praying for 2 or 3 weeks, they give it up. So they don't make progress. You got to stay with it. Then the next 6 months, the Bible says, the light of revelation is sweet like the shining of the sun. Then the revelation becomes sweet. They begin to understand it. And that's exactly my experience and exactly the experience of Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin says that God told him to start praying that efficient prayer for himself. He said the first 6 months, he was just like repeating the same thing every day, but he was doing it every day. Say, after 6 months, he said he got more revelation than he had gotten for 14 years of preaching. It's following a type. The type is already in Esther. You got 6 months of bitter odors, 6 months of sweet odors. Then what's the extra 4 months? Balance. The revelation you get after the first one, that first year, the first 6 months, second 6 months, you now begin to practice it. This is where I'm going to go into this more detail next week. In our own case now, the first 6 months is all the bitterness and all of that. You know, the bitter, the myrrh and all of that. Then the next 6 months is the sweet odors. You begin to get understanding and revelation. In particular for us, the offspring of David, you begin to get a personal revelation of the seven pillars of wisdom. You get it. It's clear. It's clear in your mind. It's not Pastor Olubi said again. It's what God has shown you yourself from scripture and by revelation in your own heart. Out of that, you now begin to practice it. 4 months of consistent practice will make you balanced in it. Then you qualify for the borrowed anointing. That's why it is 1 year and 4 months. At Ziklag, you get personal revelation. The light of the glory of, we say, God who has shined in darkness has shined in our hearts. The light of the knowledge that is in the face of Jesus Christ. This seminar, and you start practicing them, will qualify you, for this borrowed anointing. We're going to look at the rest next week. Ziklag is of great importance. I shared this to them on Wednesday, but I must repeat it because the Bible says, to give honor to whom honor is due. The person that God used to put me on the road about this Ziklag thing was Pa Elton. The year was 1981 or 82. I think it was 81. I had left Brother Emiko's place. God began to speak to me that I should go and get a job and just work like everybody else. Then I can practice all the spiritual principles in a real life situation. So I'll not be preaching theory. So like everybody else, you have to get up in the morning, go to work, and still pray and read my Bible. That's what I did, 81 to 84. Besides scripture passage in 84. I didn't get a job for about 9 months. I was just, sleeping on the floor. Larry Adeneka and I, we got this house in Agbo. That's where we started scripture pasture. So for that first, it took about 9 months before I got a job. I finally got one as a teacher. That was another miracle. Anyway, so during that time, I would just get up in the morning, pray, read my Bible, study. And I started systematic study, the entire Pauline Revelation, from Romans to Revelation, chapter by chapter, and I finished it, I, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me, in 3 years. It took me 3 years, you know. And I was writing notes. Those notes are in the church office till today. You understand? So anyway, around that time, it was 1981, I'd started, you know, doing all of those things. There was no church then. There were no, you know, Word of Faith, you know, Revelation knowledge churches. The only churches that were the denominational churches, Anglican, Baptist, you know. Then there was Orita Mefa was a little bit good because of Pastor Lee, and he used to invite people because of Pastor Brother Yemi Ayodele, and they had a gospel group. So they were more evangelical than most of the other churches were just religious. So most of us didn't bother. We didn't bother. We occasionally would go to Orita Mefa, but most of the time we'll go to IVCU. IVCU would have an afternoon fellowship after church, you know, and most of the brethren would go there. At this time, people like Fred Adegoke, my very good friend, which you know, was president of IVCU, you know, people like Friday Beki became president later on, Joseph Olanrewaju, because Brother Emiko, and I want to do this, let's give Brother Emiko a super clap offering. You see, this historical facts I'm giving is very, very important. Very important. The year I was not even born again then was 1974-75. But Emiko had been born again, I think, 72 or something like that. You know, then he came to UI, became a student. Anyway, he began to pray and seek God. So they were now, you know, wanting to know more about God. So he got to hear about this Kenneth Hagin. So Bremiko travels he and Yemi Ayodele, they travel all the way to the U.S. They were just students. They didn't really have much money. But it was, in those days, you know, you didn't need too much, you know. Anyway, to cut a long story short, that's how Bremiko was the first one. That's why when he was 70, I gave honor to Bremiko. And they don't mind all these other people, though. I'm not saying don't mind them. What I mean is that, you know, they don't honor Emiko the way they should. All of us, without exception, whether it's redeemed, whether it's winners, whether it's deeper life, I'm saying with authority, without exception, came to Emiko to get the right books and the right knowledge. That is the truth. So Emiko comes back from America and comes with Word of Faith magazine. We haven't seen anything like it. We had never heard. I wasn't even born again. You know, nobody ever knew anything about such thing. Then Brother Emiko began to teach these things he learned from Kenneth Hagin. It was a strange doctrine. He was ostracized. He was criticized. In fact, the fellowship split into two. IVCU, back in those days. Emiko Bank began to say that, you know, you don't have to wear a scarf. Ah, they say, or the backslide. Yes, it was Emiko that God used to set IVCU free. So he began to preach and teach some of these deep, and got E.W. Kenyon books, you know, and all of that, and began to preach and teach these things. So the younger people like Brother Fred and all those ones began to follow Emiko. And then he had this group of young men who were hungry for the word of God, who were following him. So to honor Emiko, Emiko was teaching one day in IVCU. He told me this story himself personally. That when he became president of the fellowship, you know, under great duress and everything. But to confirm that it was him that God chose, you know what happened? As Emiko was teaching and preaching, people said God baptized the Holy Spirit on their seat. No altar call. Through the fellowship, people just began to speak in tongues. That's how IVCU changed from being a legalistic, SU, religious group to becoming a spirit-filled group. True story. So Brian Emiko preached and began to teach this faith, all these faith principles, healing, prosperity, you know, with the right balance. Emiko never went into extremes. That's why he didn't follow all these other people, you know, in some of the things they were doing. Anyway, so he did, and then he linked up with Pa Elton. He'll go to Elisha, because in those days Pa Elton will come and he will ordain the presidents and all the members of the executive. Emiko, Emiko Austin Okachi was also a president. Fred Adegoke, I can't remember the sequence, but these are the names that I remember. You know, Friday Beki. Some of them have been here before. Joseph Olariwaju has been here before. All these guys were all presidents of IVCU. So, Pa Elton was like the spiritual father of those fellowships. And he kept a close watch on them. The one in Ibadan and the one in Ife, particularly. Ilorin too, and Lagos too, there was some association, but it was not as strong as the ones in Ibadan and Ife. So, Pa Elton used to come. Sometimes he would come like once in a month or once in 3 months. So this particular, it was 1981, this particular Sunday, as we normally go, because we didn't go to church in the morning. In the morning, I'll just stay in my house and pray. So for fellowship, God told me, he said, don't be in isolation. You cannot grow in isolation. So make sure you are in fellowship. So I go to IVCU. So when I went to IVCU that Sunday, I can never forget it. As I walked towards the gates of the, you know, the back of the chapel, chapel was full. All the brethren, everybody was there. Pa was at the back, was at the pulpit. He was preaching with his strong English voice. So as I just entered, because there were so many people, there was no space. I just quickly just, you know. Pa just said, David at Ziklag. I don't know what that means, but it's very important. Make sure you find out. That word stayed with me. I said, wow. And you see, at that time, I didn't know the Old Testament well yet. I started doing it, but you know, I came from the faith, word of faith background, which emphasized the New Testament, you know, the Pauline epistle, which was not wrong. That's where my E.W. Kenyon, Kenneth Hagin background. So I wasn't very familiar with those things yet. But thank God for Pa. Let's give Pa Elton a super clap offering. Pa Elton. So I just took it. I said, I just took it in my heart. So when I went home, I went to read the Bible. And to be honest, I really didn't understand it. So I said, anyway, God will teach me and he will show me. So I started praying. There's an experience I had. I'm sure I've shared it here in church over the years. But it's a good time for me to share it now. And I'm going to close with this story. So 81, 82, I told God, train me like you trained Jesus. So I started living fasted life and all of these things, you know, praying a lot, getting up early in the morning, pray. Then I got my job. I get up 4 o'clock in the morning, pray, and all of that. Then 83, it was the year I met my wife, but I didn't meet my wife until later in the year, September or something like, you know, I got to know who she was in June. Then we didn't start our relationship until September, October, you know, around that time. So anyway, all those years, 81, 82, I was reading my Bible. I was praying. It was 82. When I took Jesus, God to train me like we train Jesus. You know what God told me? He said, put away your faith books for a while and tapes. He said, because I want to tell you some things that if you are listening, you will not hear it. True story. So I put away Kenneth Hagin. I put away Ken Copeland. Just for some time. He said, just for some time. He said, there's some things I want to show you. Then I started praying. Pray a lot in the spirit. Then he began to teach me last scripture. Then these books started coming into my hands. Jesus the Pattern Song. Eagle Saints Arise. By the prophetic teachers. Wow. So as I began to read some of those materials and pray a lot in the spirit and study the Old Testament in more detail, these things began to open up to me. then I began to understand Ziklag. I don't fully understand it yet, but I began to understand. One thing I got from Pa Elton, stand to your feet, I got to stop, is the what I told you this afternoon, the importance of David. Pa Elton taught us that. He said, Jesus is the son of David. And if you want to understand, I must add this also, you know, because I like to give honor to whom honor is due. It was Pa Elton I first heard that David had three anointings. He said in IVCU. He said, and we the church, that time we didn't understand it. He said, everybody thought that I got Holy Ghost, which other anointing do I need? You know? But Pa Elton told us, he said, David was anointed three times, and we are going to have three anointings. Now I fully understand, by the grace and the mercy of God, what he was talking about. I don't think, I humble myself, but I don't think even Pa himself fully understood. But he had the revelation. He just said, David had three anointings, and we are going to have three anointings. It's not enough to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's only the earnest anointing. The work that is ahead of us, we're going to need the Hebron and the Jerusalem anointings. But you are not going to get it except you go through Ziklag. And that is the deciding factor. Most people don't want to go to Ziklag. You know why? Ziklag is outside Israel. It's not a very popular place. The brethren don't follow you to Ziklag. You go alone. Ziklag, we're going to deal with this next week. Ziklag, nobody wants to come to Ziklag. It's not popular among the brethren. But it is that which pertains unto the kings of Judah. You will not become a king if you don't go to Ziklag. Selah. Talk to God. let's leave it like that, Pastor Boyga. I think there is enough to chew on. Where is Bidemi? I'm pressing on the upward way.
I'm pressing on the upward way.
New heights.
New heights and gain in every day.
Wheels.
Feel free enough. I am what bound.
Lord plant.
Lord plant my feet on higher ground.
Lord, lift me up.
Lord, lift me up.
And let me stand. By faith on the unstable land, a higher plane. Oh, yes.
Hallelujah.
And I have
Lord,
Lord, plant my feet.
Plant my feet on higher.
Just stop for a moment. Stop for a moment. We're not going to sing all the verses today because I think I'm going to sing the same song next week. You see, that's what happened to me. I started going up to higher ground. You see, and when you begin to go to higher ground, you leave people behind. And nobody understands you anymore. I became a pariah. True. So what's wrong with Olubi? The guy's just going to extremes. Because I was seeing things they want everyone else see. I put away those faith things. No, they were not wrong. God just said, there are some other things I want you to know. And you see, the faith teachers have told us that we should not listen to any of those kingdom people, Lord, because they say that, you know, we'll be here for the tribulation. And they said so, but they were wrong. That is, the kingdom people were wrong. And what the faith guys were saying were true. We're not going to be here for the tribulation. It was years later when I understood that there's first flight, second flight, third flight, that everything made sense. It's true. But you see, you don't throw away the baby with the bathwater. You don't. A few months later, after, you know, I gotten the, you know, this revelation of you know, eagle saints arise, Jesus the pattern son, and the manifestation of the sons of God. This was the main thing that the prophetic teachers taught us, and Pa Elton will come back to IVCU. He taught us the manifestation. He said, we're going to have, he didn't use the word I use today, spirit without measure, but that was what he was saying. He said, the Holy Spirit will be moving through us, rivers of living water, and we'll be seeing miracles. We were just looking at him. Everybody was thinking of money, America. Nobody was thinking of these higher things. So a majority of our people missed it. But there were a few of us, myself and a few other people, who held on to what Pa Elton taught us. And that's what has made us what we are today. Put one hand on your head, on your heart, and the other hand, let's close the service. On your heart, one hand on your hand, one hand to go. You have to move on to higher ground, though. You have to. You can't stay a higher plane. If you want to stay where you are, you will. If you want to stay in Bethlehem, you will never get to Hebron. You have to leave Bethlehem. I'll deal with this next week. You know, when he left Bethlehem, he killed Goliath. These are the exploits of Bethlehem. He killed the lion. He killed the bear. He killed Goliath. He joined Saul's army. Everything has happened to me. So I know it is true. Because when David was born, Saul was king. That's what has happened. We were born in Bethlehem, but during the reign of Saul. Saul is still reigning as I'm talking today. But David, Saul, and Jonathan. The David, he will come in contact with Jonathan's. He will come in contact with Saul's. But the integrity of his heart will save him. It happened to me. I was served in the house of Saul. And Saul will love him at first. Time, the three people, the Jonathan, the Saul, and the, will diverge to their different paths of their destiny. There are many Jonathans. Many of my friends were very close years ago. Some of them, because Jonathan does not want the uncertainty of the wilderness. And most of all, of Ziklag. If you don't want that, you're not going to go there. But that is the road to the throne. If Jonathan had left his dad and followed David, I did that series sometime last year. Jonathan's story would have been different. Someone said, what would have happened? I don't know. I'm not God. But one thing I'm sure of is that it would have been okay. Don't forget that Joshua and Caleb coexisted. So Jonathan and David could have coexisted and fulfilled their destiny. God would have worked it out. Jonathan said with his own mouth, he said, I know you will be king. He said, now be at your right. And that would have happened. But like many of our people, they don't want to leave the palace. The leeks, the onions, the garlic, the car, the enjoyment, the prosperity message, they don't want to leave it. You have to leave all that to go to Ziklag. It doesn't mean you won't have them. What I mean is that they will not be a priority in your heart. That was what helped me. See, I can preach this because I've gone through it. That's what helped me. We want to sing that song, Higher Ground. There's another verse that says, you know, I don't want to dwell, you know, where these are bound, where doubts are sailed. I don't, because of time, you know. My heart has no, thank you, has desire to stay, where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. You got to move out. That's what takes you to Ziklag. Ziklag is higher ground, spiritually. It's higher ground. But most people want to stay in the comfort zone. They want to stay in the palace. You know, Jonathan was trying to play a double game. If David becomes king, I'm secure. And if David dies, and my father dies, I'll be king. So heads I win, tails I win. You don't do that with God. So he perishes with Saul. Goes to heaven. Great guy. Great guy. And in my own generation and in my own time, I have seen many Jonathans. Oh, we all agree on this prophetic. They all believe everything we say, but they won't preach it. They won't leave it so that they won't lose crowd in their church. Somebody came to me, one of my friends. He said, Olubi, we all know, you know. He said, but people are not ready for this. He said, Olubi, OJ, this day, people are not ready for it. If you start preaching this thing, you're going to lose the crowd. This 1990, 91, 92, that time, we had much more crowd. He said, if you start preaching all this, you know, people are not, they don't understand all this Ziklag, David, he said, you're a fine teacher. Healing, prosperity, everybody likes that. He said, but when you start, you know, Joshua generation, times and seasons, you know, the man-child company, all this I preached before Papa Ralph came. All prophetic messages. Okay. They will leave. And you know what? They left. That's Ziklag. It's the land of the Philistines. Not sin now, but land where most of the Israelites, the church doesn't want to go to. But that's the road to the throne. Put one hand up. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, have mercy on us. So receive your blood. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Your life and your power in sufficient measure. As we pray. Father, thank you for this fresh revelation of the life of David. Thank you that the Lord Jesus is the root of David. And we, his church, are the offspring of David. And like David, our father, we have three anointings that we are destined to inherit. The anointing at Bethlehem of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, the earnest of the Spirit. The anointing at Hebron, the borrowed anointing of the Spirit without measure. And the anointing at Jerusalem, the full inheriting of the Spirit without measure. Oh, Father, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Open my eyes. Open my eyes to see where you are taking me. So I will follow you on this road to the fulfillment of my destiny as a son of David. In Jesus' name. Neka shakuto fredek. Lipricato fridigas. Nengareka. Ronoske fridikolomosha. Father, thank you. Zala brekatolomoshaka. Lord Jesus, apricatolomoto frenes. Lord Holy Spirit, dikirikato fridiglomoto fre. We thank you for your blood. Lapricatushka fre. Your life. Lambricatolomoshagara. Your power. Nikato fridis. Lambridico. Lombridega shakiko fredes. Lombridia raparadoko. Remos shoko fre. Into our wills, la prikitolomas, our minds, la pritofredes, our emotions, la prikitolomantofres, our physical bodies, la prikitofreshe, our circumstances, rima dolomotu frinesk, our regional heavenlies, la prityushka, insufficient measure, la priask, in this regard, ne pritolomoshufre, in Jesus' name. If you weren't here during the Bible study, you need healing for your body, just stretch forth your hands. If you're watching at home, just stretch your hands. Father, we release the healing power. The Bible says you sent your word and healed them. So we know the power is already here. We release it into the physical bodies of those whose hands are stretched forth now in faith. We say, be thou made whole. We come against the spirit of infirmity, of fear, doubt, of depression and oppression. We cast you out from their souls and bodies. Destroy your works therein. Resist and bind you in Jesus' name. We set you free in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 On Brother Emiko's 70th birthday, somebody sent this thing to me just recently. You know, Brother Emiko was at a WAPFEC meeting for Bojo Yemade. And it was his 71st. He was 70 the year before. So, Bojo now honored Brother Emiko. You know, 71st. They asked people to just honor him and pray for him. Then, this is what I was told. I actually called Bojo and he confirmed that he did so. I thanked him. And he was very appreciative. So, Bojo now said, everybody should just sit down. He now played what the recording that I made at Brother Emiko's 70th birthday. And this is what I said. I said, most people don't know who Emiko is. Because he's not very rich. Emiko is not poor. I mean, he lives a good life and all that. But he's not, doesn't have a big church. Doesn't have branches. I said, but if you're talking about the church in Nigeria today, there are three names. Number one, S.G. Elton. Number two, Benson Idahosa. Number three, Emiko Amushuka. Give him a clap offering. And then the others. And I make bold to say that anywhere. Because you see, I know most of them. I know their history. Because by the grace of God, I was here at the beginning. You know, all this thing, you know, everything we can see today all came out of the IVCU, the fellowships of the 70s. I got born again in the late 70s, 79, in my youth corps, then went to England. You know, anybody you see today. So, Brother Emiko was a custodian, God put him, of knowledge. Because he's the one who go to America. Ken Hagin gave him permission, first person, to distribute Word of Faith magazine in Nigeria. Then Ken Hagin trusted him. So they will send books. You know, they give Emiko, he will, Emiko used to suffer. He will take, because how much will he have? Maybe you get $1,000 or $1,500. He had, you know, some of the brethren who were living in America, he would stay in their house. He would go to Tulsa, you know, then he would go to different places. Then they would get the books, then he would ship them. Sometimes he would be hungry. He won't have money. He would be going from, you use Greyhound. I'm telling you a story he told me. You know, all of that. And this ungrateful church doesn't appreciate it. Because we judge things only by material things. So I told them that day. I told them the three names. I said, and then the others. And it's the truth. Because I was Emiko's assistant. So I know. People come from all the different churches and ministries to come and get books. Emiko, which book would be good? Emiko said, to get that one. Get that one. And the tapes. I used to run the duplicating machine. You know, Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland. And then there were others. There were a lot of other names you guys don't know. Ed Dufresne, Fred Casey Price, who's dead now. All the top guys, you know. This was the thing that was not taken to all the different fellowships. You know, all these different guys, they now imbibe those things, use those faith principles, started their churches, God prosper us and forgot their root. The chickens have come home to roost. The day of judgment has come. There's another message I'm preparing. It's called the flood of glory. Like Noah's flood. But it's not going to be a flood of rain. It's going to be a flood of glory. But you know, the glory is a two-edged sword. Those that are in the ark is a glory of exaltation. Those that are outside the ark is a glory of death. Ananias and Sapphira. Same glory. Same glory. They are going to give account of what they did with the knowledge God had made available. He said, Peter, do you love me? More than this. Feed my sheep. They didn't feed the sheep. They fed themselves. Let's share the grace. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail. Above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live, you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life will God satisfy you and show you his salvation, even the perfection of the fullness of Christ. So the Lord imparts on you the anointing of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Turn to him and say, hello, offspring of David. You have no bones broken. God bless you.